1 Corinthians chapter 11 and the verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." This morning, as we approach the Lord's table, I draw your attention to the words of the Lord Jesus as the Apostle Paul quotes them in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. "This is my body, which is broken for you." And this morning I want to speak about the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. 3 points and an application at the end. Christ had a body. My body. Christ's body was broken. This is my body, broken. Christ's body was broken for his people. Broken for you. First of all, then, Christ had a body. Now, of course, you know that. As those of us who are Christians, we take that for granted. You probably are maybe even thinking, why does he have to give a point to a matter that is so evident, so obvious? It's so obvious that the Lord Jesus had a body. Why would you even emphasize it at all? And the answer is, brethren and sisters, I emphasize it because the Bible does. I emphasize it because the Lord Jesus Christ himself draws our attention to it, and he says, "This is my body." He wants us to reflect on his body. Every time we meet at the table, he is asking us to reflect on his body and to have communion with the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to do that. And so we have to contemplate and we have to think upon his body, his humanity. You know, his humanity is a marvel. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ is a pure miracle. It is a wonder of wonders. Nobody else talks about their body the way the Lord Jesus Christ talks about his body. "This is my body." He uses his body in a way no one else uses or could ever use their body. Because his body, our Lord's humanity, is very special. Don't misunderstand me, congregation. I am not saying that the body of Christ is of a different nature from ours. I'm not saying that in some way his body was not human, or that somehow it was superhuman. No, it was ordinarily human. It was fully human. It was wholly human. He was flesh of our flesh. He was bone of our bone, in ties of blood with sinners one. It was a fully human body. He had a real, true human nature. Our Westminster standards, to which the office bearers subscribe, puts it thus: a true body. A true body. That is, real, true, material, human body. Now, there have been groups and sects who have denied this. Some have talked about a phantom body. Some have talked about an appearance, an illusion, that the Son of God only seemed or appeared to be in a body. That was a bit like the theophanies in the Old Testament, whenever the Lord made appearances in human form, that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was just something like that. And others, they talk about a heavenly body, a superhuman body, something altogether different from our material form. But those sects have always been heretical. And the Apostle John, he seems especially to abhor and to combat such errors in his writings. And sometimes he even calls the body of our Lord Jesus Christ flesh. It was flesh. That's how blunt he is. And even the Lord Jesus Christ himself uses that word flesh. Now, nobody can doubt what flesh means. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist. So it's the Antichrist who denies the humanity of our Lord. Many deceivers are entered into the world, John says, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, human flesh. And how does John begin his gospel? The Word was made flesh. How did John satisfy himself as to this matter? He himself tells us. He satisfied himself to this truth in a most reasonable and a scientific way, with his senses. And he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we heard him speak with fleshly lips, which we have seen, we've seen his bodily form. And not only did we see, we looked upon him, we stirred at him, we seen every aspect of his human life. He was flesh. And not only that, our hands have handled of that word of life. We touched him, we hugged him, we embraced him, we leaned on his bosom of flesh. Our hands handled. And in a most reasonable and in a most scientific manner, with the use of his senses, the Apostle John satisfied himself that the Son of God was come in the flesh. This is my body. And all the fellow men of Jesus were the same. They heard, they saw, they handled, they touched, they witnessed the sweat and the blood. And they saw him eat and drink. And they saw that he wept and cried and slept and grew weary. Bodily functions as a man. So he's a true man, real man, flesh and blood man. But yet he speaks about his body in a way that no other human being can. And you know why? It is because he came to have his body in a way different to how we came to have ours. Because he took his body. He took it. He took a human body to himself. He was incarnate. As the Son of God, he was manifested in flesh. As the Apostle Paul puts it, God manifested in flesh. He is the eternal Word made flesh. He became a man differently from us. How did Christ, being the Son of God, become man? Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul. being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, of her substance and born of her, yet without sin. You see, Christ had a pre-existence. He is the eternal Son of God. He is not of the Adamic line. He does not die in Adam. He is born of a virgin. And he has a body specially and miraculously prepared by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary and of her substance, her material substance that formed his body. A godly virgin and born of her. And so when he came into the world, he could say, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me. This is my body. It was prepared me by the Holy Spirit. And I took it to my divine person. And he was made flesh and became a man, a true man, body and soul, with a human mind, a human will, human thoughts, born of a woman, but not of a man. This humanity of Christ is truly human, but his humanity is without sin. And he has it for a very special purpose. My body. He has it for the salvation of the world, for which he came into the world to save. And that's why he talks about his body in a very unique and in a very special way, in a way that we could never talk about ours. This is my body broken for you. We could never say that. We could never hold broken bread and say that. This is my body. We would be considered fools and madmen to speak thus. But Christ, who instituted this supper, speaks thus. The God-man can and does speak thus. This is my body. Broken for you. It may surprise you how often the Lord Jesus speaks about his body. We even read about it there, not only the Lord's Supper, but the woman who anointed, she's anointed my body. My body. He's very conscious of his body. Very aware how important it is. How essential it is in the salvation of man. He knows what he is going to do with it. And he is very much in control of it for the purpose of redemption. He knows what he is going to allow to be done with it for the sake of sinners. You remember at an early part of his ministry, this was one of the things the false witnesses latched on. At an early part of his ministry, he spoke of the temple of his body. The Jews were looking as sign that he was the Christ. And Jesus said, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. He's speaking of his body. Of course, the Jews thought he was speaking of the temple. The Lord was always speaking in parables. Only faith can understand parables. This is my body. Destroy this temple. I'll build it up. 3 days. He knows about his body. He knows what it is. He knows what's going to befall it. He knows what he's going to do with it. He's in control. It's a body he lays down for his people. I'm the living bread, he said, which came down from heaven. If any man eateth this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh. And who could talk like that? It sounds like cannibalism, if you just understand that in terms of, you know, just simple human terms. But the Lord is speaking in parables. He's speaking of laying down his life to be the food of life unto eternal life for believers. I lay down my flesh for the world. I give my flesh for sinners. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, my body and blood, has eternal life, and I raise him up at the last day. My flesh is meat indeed, he said. My flesh. He's always talking about it. This body. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwells in me and I in him. It's the only way that whereby sinners have union to me in my body and blood. And so he's always talking about his body. And we cannot talk about our body like that, but Christ can. He can give himself. He can offer his body in propitiation and does do so. So let us marvel that the Lord would come into the world and take a body. That he would condescend, who is the Lord of glory, that he would condescend to take to himself human flesh in all its frailty and weakness. Let us think often then on the humanity of our dear Lord, which he not only took, he took a body. But brethren and sisters, he didn't only take it, he kept it. That's the amazing thing too, he kept it. He took it and he kept it. He retained it. He never laid it aside. He never laid aside his manhood. He offered his body, but he took it up again. And he went to heaven again in a body. And he sits at the right hand of God in his body. And he is our mediator in a human body. And he will be to all eternity. And so, taken down from the cross, mangled and lifeless and broken, he built it up again. And he ever lives in it to make intercession for us. And throughout all eternity, we shall follow him in his body. Forever the man in glory. The glorified man, who is Lord of lords and King of glory. The eternal Prince and Savior of his people. So praise the true humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And never forget he has two natures. Never forget he has two natures. Never reduce him back into one. As if only the divine nature. No, forever he has two natures. The only mediator of the covenant of grace is the Lord Jesus, who being the eternal Son of God of one substance and equal with the Father, in the fullness of time became man, and so was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. Forever. And so as you love his daddy forever, so, dear sinner saved by his broken body, love his body forever too. This is my body. You know, if Christ's body ever ceased, our meat unto eternal life has ceased. But Christ's body will never cease. We shall feed on it and delight in it to all eternity. We shall never cease to praise God for it. You remember the manna? There was a bit that was put into a golden pot in the ark. All the other manna perished, but there was a manna put in the golden pot to be preserved, laid up in the ark to be kept there. And so the Lord Jesus, the blessed manna of Christ's body, being put into the golden pot of his divine nature, is forever laid up in heaven to be there. This is why he can say, my body. It hasn't disappeared. It hasn't gone away. It hasn't turned to dust. It hasn't evaporated and become pure spirit when he ascended. My body. Our mediator forever, God and man. Secondly, Christ's body was broken. That pure, lovely and wonderful man of Calvary, his body was broken. This is my body, broken for you. The verb broken is used only of bread in the New Testament. It occurs about 15 times and always of the breaking of bread. He's holding bread. He has broken it. He says, this is my body broken for you. His body as the bread of life had to be broken in order to be the bread of life. Christ's body is our bread of life. By it we are saved. But that bread, that body has to be broken. Any bread has to be broken in order to eat it. Nobody swallows a whole loaf. It has to be broken. And the whole Christ has to be broken for his people, that they may live. And you know, we cannot have life in any other way but by this broken body. This is the only way of life. When and how did this take place, this being broken? Obviously, it took place at Calvary. It was fulfilled at the cross. In Luke's account of that night, it says he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Luke doesn't say he said broken for you. He says it's given for you. The body was given. And in this giving, it was broken. The giving and the being broken are the same. When he gave himself, it was broken. And it was broken by giving himself in the sacrifice. So the Lord is referring to the offering of his body. It's given for you. It's sacrificed for you. It's broken for you. He uses this verb because of the Lord's Supper and the handling of the bread. But the reference is to the sacrifice, the offering upon the cross. Now the priests of Rome, they think that by the sacrifice of the Mass, they perpetuate the offering. That on that stone altar, Christ is offered again in the Romish Mass. That in some way or some sense, Calvary is repeated. But the Bible is clear about this, congregation, that the offering of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ is a once for all offering, a once given at the cross. Finished at the cross. That one offering, that one breaking, that is now finished and complete. It is a past historic redemptive act. The once for all offering. Now, he hasn't offered himself and he says, this is my body which is broken for you. He's about to go out and do this. He institutes his supper before he gives the actual offering. But he's saying it's as good as done. And this supper is my promise that it will be done. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give offer for the life of the world. So this prepared body was prepared in order to be given, to be offered, in order to be sacrificed in a sacrificial atoning offering. Sacrifice an offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. God doesn't want powerless, vain offerings. He doesn't want powerless, vain sacrifices. He just wants one offering. And Jesus says, a body thou hast prepared me. All these other offerings, all these other sacrifices are of no use. They're only shadows. They're only pictures until I take my body and offer it in the sacrifice of the cross. It's that body that is the main thing. And it's the offering of that body which is the salvation of the world. So God doesn't want ceremonial offerings. He doesn't want typological offerings. He doesn't want shadow offerings. He wants the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that offering, it was broken. And we are sanctified, as the apostle says, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once for all. You see the importance of the body of Christ, the humanity of Christ, the once for all offering, the once for all being broken for us. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down on the right hand of God. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And we have a new and living way which he's consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh, his body. And so he offered his body. And in offering his body, it was broken. That means that he suffered in his humanity. His being broken is his agony. He suffered for our sins. Even Christ, thinking about his being broken, was an agony to him. Did you ever think about that? We think often of the agony of the cross, but you know, the agony began long before that in the approach to the cross, especially the night before the cross. As he is being taken and tied to the horns of the altar, the agony's beginning. In his mind, he's being broken in his mind. In his emotional life. And you can see it at Gethsemane. He has pain in him before the cross. The cross was a culmination of his sufferings, but the ascent to the cross was agonizing too. Being in an agony, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. That wasn't on the cross. That was in Gethsemane. Being in an agony. He said to his disciples before the cross, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. The cross was painful whenever he did come to be impaled upon it. But there was a pain before that, the scourging, the carrying and bearing the cross, the being impaled and then the hanging upon it. Broken. So much in this thought. Broken. The body broken. The cross was painful and agonizing. It was also shameful. The bearing it is shameful. The walking it through the streets of Jerusalem is shameful. The being accompanied by malefactors is shameful. Being impaled upon it in nakedness is shameful. And being centered between the malefactors as if the chief malefactor is shameful. They broke him. He was broken. Broken for our sins. The cross was a cursed death. Cursed is anyone who hangeth on a tree. And so when we break the bread, we are symbolizing something that was in the experience of our Lord's humanity. deeply profound, mysterious, but very, very painful. The third thing is why he took a body and why it was broken. There was an end in view, you see. This is my body which is broken for you. For you! Around the table, he tells them it is so. He explains why he took a body. He explains why he allowed it to be broken. There was a purpose. Calvary is not an accident. It's a design. It's a plan for you, for the church, for his people, for those who in time believe in him and have a true union to him. This is why he took a body. For as much then as the dear children are partakers of flesh and blood, those children that he must bring into his family, because they are partakers of flesh and blood, he also must partake of the same. He must have a body too. He must have flesh as well and blood also. He partook of the same for them. This is my body. My body is for you. Even before we think of the brokenness, it's I took the body for you. I have a body for you. I came into the world for you. I took human flesh, who am God of gods and Lord of lords. I took human flesh and this body with all its embarrassing functions. I took it for you. For you. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took hold of the seed of Abraham. He took flesh. He took a body. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, even to be made in human form, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest to make reconciliation for their sins. And this is why he offered his body. It was for his people, for you. It was out of his infinite and everlasting love for sinners. And at the Lord's table, that's what the Lord is telling us about his love. This is a love feast, you know. He's declaring his love for them. He's holding up the token of it. And he's saying, this is my body broken for you. The table is the Lord's preaching his love for us. And we should feel his love at the table, and we want to feel his love at the table tonight. He has made the sacrament to be a love feast, a declaration of his grace and mercy. Hereby perceive we the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he offered his son for us to be the propitiation for our sins. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his body for his friends. The cross, St. Augustine said, was a pulpit in which Christ preached his love to the world. And that's true. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ loved us more than he loved himself. More than he loved himself. For he gave himself for you. Before he would see his people broken and eternally destroyed, he would see himself broken. Broken for you. Broken that you might not be broken. He took the rod that would have eternally broken our back. He took the rod and he was broken for you. He rent his flesh. He tore off his flesh to heal you and to cover your bleeding wounds formed by your depravity and sin. He rent his humanity to sew together again your humanity. He let his humanity be torn to shreds, his pure sinless humanity, that yours might be all sewed up and fixed to be our glorious, sinless humanity to. Broken for you, by whose stripes we are healed. He took our sins. He bore the weight of them, and so heavy were them that they broke his body and wrenched out his blood. The weight of your sins broke him for you. And this, brethren and sisters, he did freely. And he did for most unworthy and miserable and wretched sinners. And he did it expecting nothing in return. In conclusion then, those are our three heads. But in conclusion, there is a word of application. Not the preacher's application, I may add, but the Lord's own application. Because the Lord applies his own application at the table. He applies his own word, having spoken of his body, having spoken that it was broken, and it was broken for you. He then says, the application now, the stew. This is the application of the sermon. This do in remembrance of me. It's the Lord's application. That's why I made it a distinct point in itself. I'm not giving you my application this morning. I didn't have to spend hours and hours to think about what kind of application I'm going to make to the saints today. It's always very easy this morning. It's the Lord's application. Just this do in remembrance of me. Come to the table. This is my body which is broken for you. For you. Just come to the table then. Just take and eat. Just do. Just have faith and obedience and love for me. I loved you. I give myself for you. Love me. This do. Take. Eat. Now, what can be more reasonable than that application? What can be more appealing? The entreaty and the appeal of our Lord Jesus Christ has weight. How can you refuse, people of God? How can you stay away, fellow saint? Is this your love for your Lord? A neglected table. He says, come, and you don't come. He says, this do, and you don't. He says, take, and you don't take. And he says, eat, and you don't eat. Is that your return to your dear Lord? The words of our Lord are full of life, and they are sufficient in themselves to sanctify you and to persuade you of his will for you. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.